Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Pixel Chicken Podcast. I am your co-host, Stryker, along with the other co-host,
Yo,
River. with me is returning from PAX Prime, is the man, the myth, the sometimes sheepish Johnny.
A sheepish.
I'm just kidding.
Very coy, very. Yeah.
And then we have Phil. Or Philium.
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 As someone has called you.
Probably. I've called you Philium before.
No, you haven't.
I honestly think I've
called fucking you. Fucking have, Phil. I just did.
Philly cheesesteak.
Why do you declare that things haven't...
But never...
Who calls you Philly cheesesteak?
Didn't I call you Philly cheesesteak?
I got called Philly cheesesteak in middle school.
Oh, wow.
My sister
I was there. No one called you that.
No, the short kid... The short kid.
Oh, Dinnalock?
Short skater kid.
Oh, Jordan. That fuck.
Yeah, that fuck.
Okay.
He called you Philly cheesesteak.
Yeah.
You should have kicked his ass.
Felipe.
Fuck that.
I remember that.
And Felicia just so happens to call me Felipe or Philly cheesesteak as well. Sister just so happens
to do that. You think they're the same, man?
All the good Phil names are taken. Yeah. What am I going to do now?
What are some other good Phil names?
She had her face Filton Bradley. Transplanted. Jordan had his face transplanted on my sister's.
I'd believe it, honestly, at this point.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
He's called Ahab now. Her real name is actually Ahab.
Oh, I get it. Good pull.
Speaking of which,
so we have quite a bit to talk about. Obviously, this week is the release week for the long-awaited Metal Gear Solid 5. We've all played it. We will talk about that later on in the episode, our initial impressions. But first, we are going to talk a bit about PAX Prime and Johnny's impressions, what he saw, what he liked, what he hated, if he got to sleep with some cosplay ladies, just the general stuff about
that PAX. Wouldn't be very professional.
Yeah, so PAX was pretty lame this year. Sony really didn't...
you're just reciting...
No. Oh, yeah, no. I went...
Oh, you went too?
Fucking snuck in, man.
Nice, man.
Snuck in. I'm
surprised you didn't tell me.
Where were you?
Dude, I was on a sneaking mission.
Where's hidden?
I was hidden in the shadows.
Were you in the giant cat girl cosplay?
No. What the fuck?
He was trying to recover cause, you stupid fuck.
Oh. Jesus!
Sorry, man.
Phil, it sounds so
I'm
mean.
I'm gonna cry.
Phil, you should cry. teach Phil a lesson, please. For once, someone needs to break down when Phil explodes on them.
Yeah, wake it up. Phil, just slap me, right?
So he'll know that he's the meanest out of all four of us. Anyways, Johnny, PAX. How was it?
Fuck. It was amazing. Okay. This is...
How many packs have you been to?
Six or seven.
Wow.
No, six, but I missed... this would be the seventh if I didn't miss 2012, because this ticket sold out. It's ridiculous every year to get tickets to this thing.
So before you even get into all your stuff, where does this rank among the packs you've been to?
Every PAX is amazing for different reasons. They always surprise me in some way or another. This year, blue balls for the AAA. Like, it fucking sucked. It was probably one of the worst. But then, like, everything else was awesome. So it's
blue balls?
Blue.
It works two ways, if you think
blue,
about
blue
it.
Balls.
Blue balls for AAA, because...
Yeah, blue balls because no cosplay chance.
Yeah.
Okay.
There you go.
Good job, Johnny. Double meaning there.
I'm just too clever for my own good.
Make me sick.
That's fair. So this year really sucked for AAA because Bethesda had all the games coming out, and they didn't bring any of them. They brought, these fancy displays, and they had this huge part of the show floor, and everybody naturally got up at 5 in the morning to rush their booth. And I get there... And there's no Fallout 4. Like, they've got, this animated, Mr. Robot thing. And he's like, hello, fuck you. There's only a And it's just like, everybody's like, no! And, because we all waited forever. And so we're circling the booth, twice, in a rush, speed walking. Everyone's speed walking around the booth. They're like, where's the demo? And there's just, these photo booths and these... Vault Boy masks that are creepy as hell.
Ooh.
And I'm like, no thank you. And I turn around and there's fucking Dark Souls 3. I'm like, let's go. So we went there and it was about a 30-minute wait from that point, and we were super lucky because it was a 2.5-hour line after that for the rest of PAX, and they ran out of shirts in like 4 hours.
Wait a second. So you're saying Fallout 4 wasn't there, it was just some animatronic bullshit,
like and a terribly lit photo booth.
Man, that, I gotta say, from being able to hear your impressions and stuff, that's the one that disappointed me, because I wanted to hear how Fallout 4 felt.
Me too, and the game comes out soon. There's no reason for them to not do it. They did that for Skyrim. What the hell? I believe they playable at Gamescom. Skyrim was there the year it was about to release. Mm-hmm. I played it at PAX, got a sweet hat, sold it for like $80.
Damn.
It's cold. Doom it's cold. Doom was actually the biggest disappointment.
Wait, so you...
Because I knew that I'd get to play Fallout soon. But Doom was the one that I just really want to play. Sounds like the perfect MMO.
Metal.
I want a shirt for it, because like a comfy, just a fucking metal Doom shirt.
Mm-hmm. Little Leviathan Rises.
Yeah, cut the sleeves off, obviously.
Again, another fucking photo booth.
Mall that you take pictures of with your...
They had like a statue of the big guy with the little things coming out, like the backpack with rocket and lasers.
Yes.
And he was like dangling from the rafters. And he was, like, in front of, like, a backdrop, like a Doom backdrop. And you go, that was where you take the photo up of you, like, you pick up, like, a big chainsaw model. And you, like, pretend like you're chainsawing Adam or something. But the lighting was so horribly staged that the photo looked like shit.
So, do you have it?
No, I didn't take one.
Ah, you fucker.
I was too boring. I was just ready to be efficient. So anyways, I played Dark Souls 3.
Okay,
Jesus Christ,
Phil!
What?
What is it?
It's going through lock screens, and then there's just big anime titties.
Oh, yeah.
Of course there is, dude.
Yeah. Keep looking, and it'll be followed by Gary Oldman for some reason.
Gary Oldman is George Smiley.
I know, but why is it following a bunch of big titty anime girls?
Because it's just...
That's Phil's interest, man.
I just didn't expect
I like James Bond.
It does work from
wallpapers.
And
it looks Black Lagoon.
In Metal Gear Solid.
You watch Black Lagoon?
I watched the first three episodes. It was really good, and I have the first volume.
Oh, shit. I own the entire Blu-ray.
When Phil's doing work on himself.
Awesome. I love that show.
We just started talking all to each other.
The thing about Phil is that you have to think about his mindset when he's putting these together, and he's like, in the mood for big titty anime girls, and then it switches so all of a sudden to George.
Anyways, okay. Guys, Dark Souls 3. Yeah. How was Dark Souls 3?
That was the biggest diversion I've ever seen.
I know.
Okay,
so cut it out.
It's perfect. Man. It's amazing,
no, dude.
Shut up.
Dark Souls 3 was so. The shirt is sick as hell, but the demo was a little disappointing.
Okay.
Or not disappointing. It's Dark Souls. It's back. It feels like Dark Souls 2. I like the feel of Bloodborne a lot better. So going back was just kind of like it just felt backpedaling a little.
Yeah.
The graphics are great, but the setting's not as interesting. And the demo wasn't that well put together. Like, it was in like a boring area of the game where, you know, it's just like, it's a castle with zombies standing around.
Cool.
And you're just killing the zombies. Dark Souls, great. I'm going to play the shit out of it. The game's probably going to be amazing, and it's probably going to have awesome moments. But it's not going to be Bloodborne again, but I don't think that you could recreate that anyways. It's just, they had too much of a good thing for Bloodborne.
Man, every time you guys talk about Bloodborne, it makes me
it's a masterpiece.
It's
a masterpiece.
I haven't played more.
Yeah, it's worth going through. And the demo for Bloodborne last PAX was the most stressful thing ever, because the first part of that game is so intimidating.
Yeah.
Giant, tall, lanky men just dragging swords through the street.
Nothing I hate more than
that. And the big,
with tons of... Oh, the big troll guy?
The big troll guy, which you can't kill until you get pretty high level.
Dude, that guy, when you go down the stairs around the corner to the back, killed him first try. I was like level 2.
Mm.
And then died to him every time after that.
Yeah.
Never even came close to killing him after that.
Yeah.
I don't know what happened.
Just got a rhythm down.
Yep.
But yeah, that the demo was all right.
What else did you play?
I played Mad Max, which we'll talk about a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
Cool.
Oh, yeah, we will.
Which there were those Ubers there. So Uber had
cars?
Uber had a thing.
Was the Magnum Opus there?
No, yeah, like 5 of them. Oh. And, So Uber had like 5 Mad Max mobiles. Each one was completely different from the last. One was kind of like the Interceptor.
Why?
One was like, because it was free, and you just request a Mad Max thing. It was just press, a PR. I mean,
wait, Uber was picking up people in Mad Max vehicles?
Vehicles for free.
Badass.
Taxing. And, the people driving them were war boys. They were cosplayers. Really? They acted completely in character. There was, like, 8 of them. And it was amazing.
Acting in character, do you mean they drove down furiously down the sidewalk?
Well, did they skin your head off?
They had to obviously abide by street laws, but they're constantly like revving the engine and yelling and like banging on the side of the car.
That's cool.
That's awesome. They'd stand up on top of the car and rip the steering wheel off and go,
That's fucking serious? Cool.
I shit you not. Cool. And they'd do that for like photo stuff, and they'd bring people up on top of their car and yeah, actually, I got a picture of him, but I'll show you later. Actually, I think I put us in the picture of
him. You did. I saw it.
Yeah.
So I was trying to suss out what that was, but now I know.
That was just some of the rad boys. Yeah, they were all doing like the V8 thing.
Yeah.
But so there's some Christian protester guys that are there every year that are crazy, and there's like 5 of them, and they just yell on megaphones that you can't even hear what they're saying. But they were taking Mad Max photos with all the cars lined up, and all the war boys were there, and people were taking pictures with them. So obviously these protesters were like, oh, here's how you share the love of Jesus. And go run in front of their pictures and say, I'm all going to hell. Like, great, thanks. All the Mad Max guys just started to fuck with them. And they were just like revving their engines at them and yell. It was glorious.
Did they ever run them over?
No, they weren't on the Fury Road. So.
Damn.
But so that was that part was sweet. As far as my so I played a couple demos that were surprises.
Okay,
that's the best part of PAX is being surprised by things. And one of them, I'll start with the least to the best. I played the new Lawbreakers game, the new Cliff Bleszinski game.
Wait, is that what that's?
That's
how I met Cliff Bleszinski.
I thought that was like is wait, what's the name of his studio?
He left Epic Games.
No, I know he left Epic Games, but it was like Blue Tusk or something. Was that what it was?
Let me find it.
No, it's something. They're working.
So Lawbreakers, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
So they're working for Nexon.
Yeah.
Or Nexon is funding the game, and they gave him a pretty beefy budget. Nexon. You know, they do MapleStory and stuff.
Yeah, I think it's going to be free-to-play.
It is.
Yeah.
And so Nexon's always tried to
break... Bosskey. That's what it is.
Bosskey, yeah. So Nexon's been trying to break into the FPS scene for a while with, like, Combat Arms and all these other Japanese-developed shooters that are terrible.
Mm-hmm.
And they seem to get better with each new game that they come out. And now they finally just like, fuck it, let's get a dream team together. So that's what this is. I got to meet a couple of them. Like, there's this one... awesome guy. I didn't catch his name. Huge black guy with
John
long dreads. And he came up to us and he's like, hey guys, how you doing? Actually, a little background. How we got here was there was a mysterious black van parked outside of PAX with a person holding a sign saying, free shirt, play a game.
And hell yeah!
You just get into the black van. They don't tell you the name of the game. Small van. I go over to this van with my friends. We hop in. We're separated from our other friends. We get into the van. My friends are in the fucking van, like the other friends. Like, they were in there, and they just saw us, like, oh, no way. So here we're in this van. We're just going.
I'd be scared shitless to do that.
And
they just take off?
We just took off 3 miles up to a nightclub in a hole in the wall. And it was all Lawbreakers themed. They had, like, just bumping music and stuff. And free, the bar was closed, but it was just free soda and stuff. And we were just waiting. Finally, before we got to play the game, Cliff Bleszinski comes out, and he's just like, hey, guys, you ready to kick some ass? Woo!
Fuck yeah, titties!
Yeah, and that was basically, it was as Cliff Bleszinski of an encounter as you could imagine. Like, he was just frat bro mode times 1,000. He's like, hey, my wife's up there being creepy. And then she was, like, up in a balcony watching us, and she just, like looked really embarrassed. She's like,
God. Seems like a nice bro, though.
Yeah. From everything he's obviously awesome, but, like, I wouldn't have wanted any other interaction with him. That was just perfect. He dropped, like, 10 F-bombs when he was talking about his game. It was just like, yeah, this is how you talk about your game.
Yes.
This is passion. Yes. Fuck yeah. Anyway, so this one guy came up to us, and he talked to us about the game for about 10 minutes before we played. He personally programmed 2 of the 4 playable classes.
How big is this team?
I don't know. Maybe
36? employees at Boss Key?
According to Wikipedia.
Yeah.
Could be more. Could
so
be
less. So this more. Guy, he told me that he did the cover system in the Division, like personally. Like he did that. And I was like,
what? Wait, hold on. What?
Yeah, this is
the Division,
Tom,
as in
Tom Clancy's Division. Yeah. Okay. So that was what his most recent project was. He also did a bunch of stuff, I think, with Unreal.
And he was with Boss Key now?
Yeah. Oh, so, okay. So it's like they got this dream team of FPS developers going for this game. And it's really impressive. They started work on it like last year. So they've had like less than a year to get this far. And the demo that I played was pretty good. It wasn't amazing.
It's competitive multiplayer?
Yeah, it's competitive multiplayer. You basically, it's like capture the flag, but there's one flag in the middle. You capture it. It's set in the, like, where the flag is this no-gravity zone, and you're supposed to grab it and run back to your base and charge up the flag to the point where it reaches 100%. But if it's, like, at 99% and the other team steals it and brings it back to their base and charges it for a second, they win. So it doesn't matter how long you've had it.
Like, kind of like capture the flag, King of the Hill or something like that?
Basically, yeah, that guy right there, Joshua Parker.
He's an
awesome guy. He hung out with us for, like, 10 minutes. Anyways, so there's like classes that are better at like stealing the flag. So, or like, I think the breakers have more classes that, because it's law versus breakers.
Oh.
So it's like one set of classes versus another set of classes.
Oh, interesting.
You can also, in a very Cliff Bleszinski manner, blind fire.
Yeah.
And it's an FPS. So you hit the control key and you just shoot behind you.
That's fucking rad.
And yeah, cool. So for like rocket launchers and stuff, it's pretty great, and since there's like lots of low gravity and like jumping and swinging around, like there's like a, one class has like a grappling hook where they can swing themselves around. So there's lots of
something about that just mid-air. Sounds really.
That reminds me vaguely of. Do you guys remember Syndicate? The Syndicate.
I remember. I still want to play it.
It's a really badass game. It's really badass, but that reminds me of things that I appreciate. Is like. In that game, when you sprinted, you could still fire, and it was like this altered, like sideways, really fucking awesome animation for the way you shot. So you could still shoot when you were sprinting and still sprint. That just reminds me of that kind of, which is makes me really.
I like when they introduce mechanics to genres that, like mechanics that are new, completely new to the genre. Like things like that.
That's cool.
Oh yeah, I just signed an NDA to play this game, so I don't remember.
Well, fuck it.
Well, fuck the whole thing. It was, oh shit.
what was the aesthetic like?
It was very floaty, and it felt good. It definitely, it was very unreal. In like Unreal Tournament.
That's kind of what it looked like from the videos.
That's kind of
But it still felt like a lot different from that as well. But like. That's my biggest
I didn't see much, but some Halo maybe? At least the environment?
There was Halo in the feel, too.
Yeah, okay.
And the amount of time it took to kill a person, that felt more like Halo than Unreal.
Okay.
The balancing was off and all the stuff because it was like a pre-alpha.
Yeah.
But it was a very nice
pre-alpha. Well, that's an interesting idea when you have a set of classes versus a different set of classes. I imagine that has a lot of balancing issues that come into play. So.
And there's like six classes that haven't been introduced to the game yet. There's only two classes versus two classes in the build we had, and there's supposed to be five on each side. Just 10 classes total. It's pretty good.
Huh. Yeah.
Lawbreakers, look forward to that. It's going to be a good free-to-play game. And then after that, the other surprise was Gigantic. Gigantic's a Seattle-based... I thought it was going to be a MOBA, but it's Microsoft is pushing it. It's an Xbox One Windows 10 exclusive.
Okay.
You have to have Windows 10 and DX12 to play the game.
Yeah.
I thought it was going to be like a MOBA, like League of Legends.
Is this that one where they had like the cartoony kind of snake guy?
And it had the owl guy as the...
Yeah.
So, I love the art, first of all. Like, it just really works in-game and all the character designs for that kind of cartoony
Oh, yeah, it looks cool.
Style. It's pretty good. It's gorgeous. And in-game, it just really looked good. So, the game...
So, what is it? Yeah.
It's like a third-person arena shooter. There's six nodes that you have to capture.
Okay.
And you have... Your goal is to kill the enemy's, like, beast, or whatever they call it. Their holy, ginormous demigod thing.
Yeah.
And so each team has a different, you know, ginormous beast. And they're pretty much invincible, and they just kind of sit on the back. And your goal is to make them charge into the other demigod thing so it can punch them in the fucking face, some damage, and then make them vulnerable because it knocks them out and it makes it to where you can rush them and do damage to it. So how you charge up its your boss thing's punch attack is by killing enemies. Okay. So it's a really simple game. You basically, there's no, unlike League of Legends and stuff, you don't kill minions, farm gold. You level up and you have skills, and it's hero based because there's lots of different heroes. But in the end, it ends up feeling more like a third person arena shooter, and it was really fucking fun. Like, I didn't expect it at all. I'm not really into that kind of game that much. But I played it with my friends, and we dominated. And so the guy said, hey, you guys should sign up for the tournament. We signed up, and then we practiced. They had there's this arcade across the street, Gameworks, and they had a whole setup with all these computers in there, and you could play it until 1 in the morning. You could just keep going back in and practicing. We played like 8 or 9 games that day. And you know, I got the beta all ready on my computer. In fact, I recommend you guys sign up for the beta because you can use the beta for both Xbox One and Windows 10.
I love the art design.
It looks really nice. That guy reminds me of Journey.
Some of the character designs are just fantastic. The owl guy is my favorite. He's the character I played the most of, and I met the artist. Well, he looks the coolest. Yeah, I met the artist. It was great. He looked like he was like 23, 24, and there was like 30 staff members in this room when we were doing the tournament, which we lost horribly.
Yeah. Of course.
Yeah. But everybody was new to the game, so I was kind of hoping.
Oh, okay.
We won 7 of the 8 practice games we'd fought against other players, but we just got destroyed in the tournament. This guy, he's standing near me, one of the staff. And I was talking to my friend about how much we loved the art. We were just like, really just appreciate the style and stuff. And I said, it's like, man, I want to know who the artist is. So I turned over and I looked at the guy and I said, hey, I overheard somebody mention that there's going to be like an artist's signing posters later. Do you know anything about that? And the guy's like, that was the first I've heard of it. He's like, and it's probably good to know because I'm like one of the artists. I'm like, oh, hi. It's like, and he was literally standing next to me the whole time. I was just like gushing about the art. I was like, well, what do you do? He's like, oh, I design characters like the owl guy. And I was like,
I design characters like the owl guy.
I got a giant poster of that.
Tiger guy. Can you sign my tits?
I want to draw cool shit for a living so fucking bad.
This guy was awesome. He was like about your age. He had it made. And he totally loved the game, and he really liked us, and he talked to me for like 15 minutes about like tips and art and just drawing for the industry. It was fantastic. Van Gogh. Yeah, Van Gogh. He's like, because I was talking.
Wait, are you a fan of Van Gogh? Because like,
so there's another game that was announced or not announced recently announced. It's by 2K. I can't remember what it's called.
Evolve.
No, it's there. It's
fuck. I really thought that was it.
It looks like Overwatch.
Okay.
You know, Blizzard's cartoony thing. And it's the same kind of game, and like Battleborn.
Yeah.
I fucking hate the art style in Battleborn so much because
isn't that Gearbox?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. There's this cartoon aesthetic that's been going around in games lately. And some of it I like, and some of it I don't. And I love
every single one of them.
But some of them, it's just like, they're all doing the same kind of thing.
The only thing I give a fuck about is Cuphead, so.
Yeah. Oh, God. Well, yeah. But I'm talking like...
Jesus Christ.
I'm talking like 3D,
Yeah, I know.
So like, fucking that grotesque... What the fuck? Like, Jesus Christ. There's not a single good thing about the aesthetic of this game. And when you look at the game in motion, it looks like shit. Like,
there's no excuse to have a head that small.
His head's smaller than the other characters who's like...
I know.
Unless you're drawing like Liefeld.
So like that to me is like where that exaggerated cartooniness goes and just sucks. So I was kind of explaining that. But I was like, you know, there's this cartooniness to these... a lot of these games lately that I don't like, but I absolutely think that this nails it in this gigantic game. This the aesthetic, the colors, the simplistic map design, everything about it, I love it. And he's just like, oh, are you an artist? It's like, no.
You lied and said, yeah.
Oh, you should have.
I am an artist.
You probably would be like, you want a job?
And then you would have shown him Phil's work. And then he would be like, fuck yeah. And then Phil would have got hired and left us. My podcast would be better.
I'm just kidding. It's all right. I mean, it would have worked out for you in the end.
I just want the best for you.
That's great, man. Appreciate it.
I'm joking. So
the game was a blast. And I highly recommend people try Gigantic. Sign up for the beta because the betas are going on right now for the weekends. And this weekend it's going to be gone. Sign up on gogigantic.com and you can get it for the Xbox One or Windows 10. I'm plugging it because you know what? Fuck yeah, I love those devs. They were all awesome
people.
Yeah,
all right.
It's cool when you get to meet a bunch of devs and they're all passionate.
And they're all really give a shit about
those. Those are my favorite things. So that was a pleasant surprise because in its current alpha state, it kicks ass. The game is great, and they've already
so far more than what I played. You've had disappointments for most of the bigger games coming out, but it was an okay experience. You've had a lot of pleasant surprises.
Yeah, those things were great. So let me tell you about the biggest, best thing at PAX this year was Valve's. FIFA.
They're back.
the Vive. It's the Vive.
Okay.
I didn't know much of anything about the Vive.
Is that
Oculus?
I know, but I was. Is that how we are? You're supposed to pronounce it because I still not had a.
I have no fucking clue.
It's Vive.
It's the Vive.
I've heard Vive. I've heard Vive.
If it was Vive,
word already, and it's Vive.
If it had a thing over the E, it would be Vive.
But people are dumb, and it makes me question.
They
myself
always
too.
Release things that are like that's like an already established word, and then they say that it's actually pronounced.
That's it,
So the Vive is just like the Oculus Rift, and it's Valve's competition. So I was trying to think of I own an Oculus Rift. I really follow the virtual reality stuff. I saw Morpheus, by the way. It looked really bad.
I want to hear more about that, but after
So the Vive was. I was trying to think what makes it special. They announced it. Not a lot of details, but people have been demoing it since GDC. But you had to schedule the demos, meaning that only a few hundred consumers got to try it at these conventions. Mm-hmm. A lot of press got to try it. Well, I got my hands on it, and I was one of 400 people that were non-press at PAX to do it. The demo was you go to like this lounge in a hotel. You had to find the sign up and wait at 5 in the morning. And I did that because it was worth it. You hang out in this lounge. By the time they schedule it, they're like, 8 p.m. because they're going to be doing press all day. I get there. They've got Coke everywhere. Not cocaine.
Wait, okay.
They got...
Scarface.
That's how...
Mountains of cocaine.
That's how rich you're supposed to be to have the Vive. But it was awesome. It was like a doctor's office because they'd come out. They had this big cubicle set up with like curtains, and like the guys would come out and be like, "Johnny, we're ready for you now." And it was like, "Oh shit!
Take a snort. Yeah, and come demo.
It is live.
it helps with the virtual the virtual experience. Just charge into the wall. You go into this cubicle." And here's
and
the
do
headset.
Finance reports.
Yeah, it's like a 15x15 cubicle, and
it's a Stanley Parable VR demo. So
the Vive is sitting on the floor in the middle of it with a pair of headphones, and there are two laser sensors, big fat bricks, one on one corner, one on the other. They're not like the Oculus's where they plug into the computer via USB. They plug into the wall. And they just go. They just work. They just detect everything, and it goes.
Side note on those, I saw a video in which some guy was testing out the feasibility of having those in like a smaller room than they're supposed to.
Yeah.
And they just fucking worked. Like, he went into a different room in the house where they couldn't even see him, and it was still working.
Yeah.
It was incredible.
Wow. So you can adjust the dimensions of the limitations of your room, and they can actually get bigger than the cubicle that I was in. I mean, by cubicle, I mean, like, it was like about a bedroom-spaced room that they had.
Mm-hmm.
And actually maybe a bit bigger than that. But yeah, it was all, you know, empty space, though. Quite a good distance for walking around.
Yeah.
And it could go bigger than that, and it could go a lot smaller as well. But the key thing about the Vive is that what makes it different from the Oculus. Oculus, you sit down, you move your head, you're like, wow, and you cockpit things.
Mm-hmm.
Vive, you walk around. The whole room is yours.
That's absolutely insane.
It was unbelievable. And so the technology is already better. I haven't tried the newest Oculus, the consumer version 1. I know that they've upped the resolution and all these other things, so that part is still probably compares well with the Vive. Maybe it's even better.
Mm-hmm.
But it does not have as good of a standing space as the Vive does, just based on its technology. And here was one of the most impressive things. So you're probably thinking, well, if you can stand and walk around, how do you know whether or not you're going to hit a wall? Well, there's a sensor that detects where the mask is, obviously, those lasers.
Yeah.
So if you're getting near a wall, a blue grid line appears, like you're in a boxing ring. And you can turn around and you can see these three blue lines go like a box around. They just fade in, and so you see the limitations of the room when you start to approach a wall. And as soon as you step one step away, it goes away.
That's fucking rad.
So what did you do in the demo? Like, what kind of...
So what was the game?
Four demos. It was a 20-minute experience. First demo, you're underwater.
Oh, that's terrifying.
And,
drowning.
Yeah, the guy
said, drowning.
You're underwater with nothing.
Tied to a cinder block.
Yes, exactly. So... the guy said that it causes people anxiety sometimes who don't like water.
Mm-hmm.
You're on a sunken ship, and you're just kind of like walking around this sunken ship.
That's terrifying.
And for a lot of people. And there's like a treasure chest that opens up, and you just walk around and you look at things. And it was just weird to do all this without a controller.
Yeah.
There were places I didn't want to walk. I turn around, I see all this debris. I'm like, I don't think I should walk there. It's dangerous. There's debris. I could get cut.
Yeah.
I could get AIDS. You never know.
You could. It's down there.
And so, you know, you
thrives in that environment.
You look over the edge of the ship, and you look down, you see like a crashed World War II bomber or something, and your gut just sinks just looking down from that vista. I mean, like, I was kind of used to that with the Oculus, but standing up and doing it and walking around and walking up to a thing and looking over, like, you have the ability to just take a step. That's what makes it even more engrossing. I mean, the Oculus, you're using a controller, and you look down, you're like, whoa, my stomach. This, you fucking walk to the thing, and you look, and you're like, Jesus, I just walked here. I'm one more step, and I'm a dead man.
Is that, like, what you do with the Oculus? Just, whoa, my stomach.
Yeah, dude, you get crazy high. You just sit down, and you just enjoy.
You just put it on with a blank screen and go, whoa.
I can only imagine, though. That would, so, anyways, it should be bad.
Yeah.
So the underwater thing was cool. A giant whale floats by, and the scale's enormous. And it's like with the Oculus, I'm used to like two guys making a demo for free on Unity,
mm-hmm.
and just pushing it out, and that's what you show people that are impressive. With the Vive demos, Valve put in budget to make these things. So there's a giant high-res whale right in front of you. He opens his eye and blinks at you and looks, and he does a roll, and the fin hits this fucking metal thing on the ship, and the ship... You're like, oh my god.
That sounds fucking sweet.
It was sweet.
I would like...
Demo one of four.
Yeah.
So here I'm like, shit, this is awesome. You know, fades out. New room fades in. You're over an island. You're a god. This island is like this tall to you, and so it's still pretty big to scale. But like, you know, you're still floating over this island. You can walk through mountains and stuff. But the goal—it's a game, and the goal is to land planes. And there's planes buzzing around,
mm-hmm.
and you touch them. Oh, I forgot a very important component about this. There are two controllers,
mm-hmm.
Which was awesome because when I first put this, when you first put the Vive on, before he starts the water demo, you're in a white, blank white room, and the guy is talking to you in this, you know, the guide, because you have a guide who's telling you everything and running the demos for you. And he's like, all right, so what do you see? And all of a sudden you see a controller just pop in, like it's the Matrix or something. And I'm like, oh, there's a controller. And it's like in the distance. He's like, okay. And then another one pops in. And he's just like, and what are they doing now? I'm like, they're coming towards me. He's like, okay, now reach out and grab them. So I grab them. He's like, congratulations, you just grabbed something out of virtual space. He's like, how does that feel? I'm like, fucking rad.
That's insane.
He's like, okay, so here's the buttons. There's these dials. And on the back, if you look at the back, you'll see the trigger. I'm like, okay, so I rotate it. I see the trigger. I'm like, okay, and I'm feeling it with my finger. I'm like, holy fuck. Like, I haven't actually seen this trigger before.
Wait, what are... Are there arms? Like,
no, they're just, they're like long ass Wiimote.
No, I mean, like, do you see your arms in the? Okay,
you just see floaty things.
Okay,
You mean there are some games that have they have like things out now where like you can attach to your wrist and it reads your muscle movements so that it does give you arms and completely direct finger movements. Based on your muscles.
Ew.
Yeah. It's fucked up.
Oh man.
I mean, it's just a wristband.
VR, it's so fucked up.
It's fucked up.
Fucking
awesome.
Fucking GW system. Patriots gonna fuck with everyone.
What?
Goddamn Arsenal gear.
The White House. I heard your apartment was just Arsenal gear.
So,
you never told us.
The controller has two dials that you can rotate and buttons in the middle. And, they'll actually have, like, little interfaces that pop up near the controller, so you can hold the controller up to your face and see, you know, different demos do different things with the controllers. In the underwater one, you could swat fish away. That was about it. Mm-hmm. But, in the second... And you really, the fish is like, so this plane one, you reach the wand out, and you feel kind of nervous walking because even though you know you'll be warned when you're getting near a wall, like it feels weird.
Yeah, what if they open up a hatch in the floor?
Yeah.
Okay, what do you feel now?
Spikes? Do you feel spikes? Do you feel? Is it?
So just a. Bamboo pit down there.
So, anyways, you stand and you try to like lean out to grab like the plane, and when you touch the plane, you draw its flight path, and it'll eventually follow it. Okay. So you draw the path around and you lead it onto the landing pad. And your goal is to land as many planes as you can, and eventually planes are catching fires. So you have to do it as quickly as you can. And yes, you can kill the planes. You can crash planes into each other. You can swat them out of the air, and a little guy will parachute out of it.
Good.
Apparently, there's this little girl who's playing it, and she was like naming all of the planes
and then killing them.
No, she. Yeah. So she. The guy was explaining.
I want
to
them
me.
To have names.
The guy was explaining to me. He was like, this little girl is naming all these planes, and it was adorable. He's like, I love it when people do that. And then all of a sudden, she says, "You're saved, and you're saved." But not you. And she takes this big jumbo liner and just smashes it into a mountain and starts laughing maniacally. And she's just so entertained by that. And she starts swatting him out of the air. And she's just having a great time.
She realized that death is the only thing that matters.
Yeah. Death is the only answer.
Yeah. Okay, with this one, it's less of an apparent, like, virtual reality experience.
And more of, like, a game in 3D space.
Yeah, okay. All right,
like a simulation kind of thing, and
you think to make. I've always thought it's always to make VR the next like place that video games go. Like they have to figure out ways to like make more than just like tech demos and stuff like
but
that.
But it's already progressing
and more,
so fast.
Yeah, I know, but still,
it's gonna get crazy.
But our third person game just going to go away?
No,
or like how are we? I've heard of some of them, but they I
hear her not great.
Well, VR will always be a side option. You know, I don't think we'll always be playing games in VR, and we'll also be playing games in HoloLens in AR, alternate reality.
Yeah.
And so, you know, there's just these new mediums that are really exciting, and they'll have their own. What I'm excited is that VR will bring back the slow-paced, escape the room, you know, point-and-click adventure kind of things, and cinematic stuff. Games where you just walk around rather than run around. They have to rethink that. Sure, you can stand in your square and shoot people or go through dungeon rooms D&D style, but so that one was pretty neat. And then the third demo was a painting space. It was a blank room. It was all dark, and you had like glowy paint. And their options were already pretty diverse. Like, they didn't give you much time to really explore it, but you could look at all the menus and all the brush types, and you could draw 3D space. It was the weirdest fucking thing. I got a rainbow brush, and I just went, woo! And it was, like, all glowy, and it was just stunningly beautiful. And you could, like, put a starry sky up there. And I was just
I would have immediately cried.
Yeah.
I would have just broken down.
It was ridiculously... It was stunning. And then after that demo...
Just sounds life-altering, experience.
So we all...
The fourth demo, you looked into the face of God himself.
Basically.
You look into a mirror and see yourself with this device on your head.
With your wife comes next to you, and she dies in front of you.
So Val didn't actually...
You won't take this mask off. And she's starving. Yeah.
She slowly decays in front of your eyes.
Valve didn't actually make these first three demos. I don't know about the paintbrush one. I think these first three were made in like a budgeted game jam. But the fourth demo was officially Valve made with Valve budget. And you were asked, do you like Dota or Portal? And I said, well, somebody already explained the Portal one, so give me Dota because I know nothing about it. I'll explain the Portal one. I didn't actually get to do it, but I saw a little YouTube video of it. Basically, you're walking around this test facility, and GLaDOS is having you pick up objects and stack bricks or some mundane task. And then you're supposed to like pull some levers and do some things. And then you're working with like a little robot buddy who's walking around with you. And then eventually all the floor tiles start to fall under your feet, except for the one you're standing on. Oof. And then GLaDOS comes down and gets right in your face. And apparently the sense of scale is just incredible. And that's when the demo ends. The one that I did, I'm very glad I did this, was the Dota one. I don't know if you're familiar with Dota, but there's a secret shop in it in the middle. And it's run by this huge Russian dude. And it is sort of this shop of magical curiosities and stuff and just rare items. So... The demo was set in the mysterious secret shop. And you start out in there, and there's all these cool little magical glowy things and swords and books and potions and alchemy sets. All sorts of just cool stuff just cluttering this big room. And you're alone in there, and all of a sudden you hear boom, boom, and just the door just flies open, and the huge Russian dude just kind of walks in. And I've never seen a high-res, well-animated character model in VR before. It was stunning. And so he's just like, take a look around, see whatever you like. And then he reaches out his hand, and he's like, but
want
first...
bullets?
Yeah, bullets for gun, make gun go faster. He hands you this like, white glowy orb sphere thing for your wand. And so he's like, come, take it. And so you walk up to the guy, and you reach out, and you take it out of his hand. And it feels like, When you're done with the demo, you feel like, I knew him. Like you just have this feeling. I've seen this guy. He is, to my visual scale and this sense of presence in this room, he was right in front of me, and I took something out of his hand. The feeling was weird.
Wow.
And awesome. So, here I got this glowy wand, and I'm shining the light around this room and just looking at all the cool shit. And there are 7 or 8 hidden little runes. And you shine the light up to them, and you press the trigger, and it shrinks you, and you're tiny, and you're standing in that part of the room, tiny. And each part has an interactive thing. So, like, you're in a bookshelf, and you look out over the bookshelf, and you see this massive fucking room, and it's like... I've never been tiny before.
This sounds like the most incredible.
Yeah.
It really is. I mean, I was all four of us who tried it. We walked out of there and we were just beaming. We were all kind of tired. It was really late. We had a really rough day and we were just ready to go. We could not stop smiling. It was like that. So I'm in this bookshelf and a giant book comes to life and he's like, raw, and he like smashes down in front of you. You're like, oh, fuck. And then there's one with like a giant frog. He whips his tongue at you, but then there's this like adorable like amphibious, or it's like a reptile wolf. No, Navy SEALs come in and they shoot the fuck out of you. And turns out he snuck on one of those like vests that have like
the core effects. Yeah.
Those would be incredible with this.
Oh, or terrifying, honestly. Or literally, like...
A shooter would just have you sweating.
Yeah.
You'd piss yourself the first time you use it.
Fucking piss myself. For no reason.
Especially for, like, a horror game. If, like, a monster were to come up to you and, like, do a jump scare and just, like, hit you, boom, yeah. Impact. You're like, because I've worn one of those vests.
If it just came behind you and slightly touched you on the back.
Well, they have, like... It's like they have little push things.
Just came behind you and jerked you off.
They have a little
bag.
Yeah. It's just like you look down and there's just hand under.
What's it do? Oh.
Horror games are gonna get awesome.
Come on, stop.
Like not really. Yeah.
cut it out.
Yeah, so the
that's two for two podcasts I've made a joke about.
Yeah.
All right.
So
streak alive.
Yeah. So there's like this reptile wolf dog thing with a fish in his mouth, and he's just kind of like wagging his tail and panting, and he's just looking at you, and he's just like looking adorable, and his eyes kind of follow your wand thing, so you kind of like I got down on my knees, I'm like, oh, hello. And I'm just, like, shining my light around, and he's, like, follow it. And I, like, shine it kind of, like, right above him, and he's going all googly-eyed. It was amazing. Then a giant spider monster... No, a giant troll monster thing just comes over this shack, and there's, like, holes in the roof, and you can see them, and that's the end of the demo. But, yeah, you take it off, and the guy was like, did you lose your sense of direction? Like when I took it off, I was facing the back, and it was just, like... Yeah, I had no idea where I'd be looking. It's just
wow.
True immersion, and you know that prototype was very fixed. Valve was in total control. I had a completely empty room.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like for those who really want to go serious with this, you're going to have to be wealthy and have a room dedicated to it, or just have like be one of those people with a clean house.
It's true. Those fucking types,
like you know, grandmas and stuff. Just go to grandma's to play the vibe.
Grandma's house either is clean or cluttered as fuck.
They're not mutually exclusive. They can be both. I think
true.
Can be cluttered but clean.
I like to see my grandma with a vibe on her head and see how she'd react.
She'd fucking fall, dude.
She probably would.
My grandpa,
she'd go.
My grandpa wore an Oculus, and I got a video of it.
Did he think it was the devil?
Like, no, he thought, he almost, like, cried. He was like, wow! My grandpa's hilarious. He's like, that's seriously how he sounds, too. And he's like a fire and brimstone street preacher type of guy.
Yeah.
And so he took it off, like, John! Like, it was, like, on video. He's like, you could witness to people with this. He's like, you could make a tour of Jerusalem. And I'm like, that's actually not a bad idea.
I'd do that.
he was just getting so emotional. And he reacted more than the grandparents. The older you are and the less adept to technology you are, the more you react to the Oculus. There's like a low res block, cinder block that goes overhead slowly. And he was like, oh, like, it was great. And he was just constantly just moving. He said, wow!
I really like that voice.
I did too. Wow!
We were just like, in tears laughing so hard.
That's,
but yeah, he's a
something else.
He's a funny guy. Yeah, but the Oculus.
He's really funny on Johnny's Facebook if you ever get a chance.
Okay.
The what?
I was just saying your grandpa is funny on Facebook.
So the Vibe. Oh, God. So in direct contrast to the Vibe, you also saw the Morpheus, which was...
I didn't demo the Morpheus. I talked to people who did, and I watched people while they were doing it.
Okay.
And there's no point. There's okay. just no point.
The no Oculus... point in what? It existing?
Yeah, or? In it existing. Oh, okay. Wow. Sony's fucked up hard. They're going to lose big time money.
How so, though?
So
it's just...
It's literally... So the Oculus Rift is the sit-down experience. Mm-hmm. It's got better tech than the Vive, and it's really good.
Mm-hmm.
Comes with controllers now, and an Xbox One controller for different types of games.
Those weird, so, like, half-moon circle things? Yeah. Yeah.
Oculus is going more for... practicality than the Vive is at the get-go.
Mm-hmm.
And I think even then, you could, in theory, set up the Oculus later for the kind of thing that the Vive does. Although, for now, I think the controllers are mostly for, like, a standing experience in, like, a little
center. I'm interested to hear that they seem like they're going for different things. Because mm-hmm. This is the first that I've ever kind of really gotten into just... how different they actually the kind of end goal that they seem to be shooting for is different, which is shocking to me.
So they are going for different things, but they're still going to directly compete with each other.
Oh yeah, of course. I mean, yeah.
And the Morpheus is going to get crushed by both of them because there's no reason to have it. Why would you run one of these things on a PlayStation?
Yeah.
So you're going to have to run on console exclusive stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to have worse hardware. The Morpheus isn't as good as these other things.
Yeah.
It's okay, but the hardware cannot sustain it. So, like, yeah, it's a cheaper option. The cheapest option is the one that you can get for your phone called the Gear VR, but that's already out, and it's open source. It runs on Android. There's all sorts of cool shit that you can make for it. There's a lot of things you can run on the Oculus you can already run on your phone on Gear VR.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually, they
roller coaster.
Yeah,
for instance.
Yeah, stuff like that. There's like 30 roller coaster ones. They're pretty cool. The Morpheus just is a bad idea, and I thought it was, and I just wanted to see it first. And now that I saw it, I'm just thinking.
But how can you tell by seeing? Like, you're just watching somebody demoing it, and you're like, "That's a bad idea."
I don't know. Well, I don't know.
From a marketing standpoint,
okay.
Like, yeah, where does it fit? Why would you get it?
I understand. I
read the specs. They're worse than the others. It has to be the hardware specs.
That's the thing. The thing about it, though, is I mean, it's also more achievable for a select group of people too. I mean, it's the cheap option, and it's not, you know, like the Wii, obviously the hardware specs on that weren't up to snuff with
the difference else. Is that they haven't figured out what to do with VR yet. The Wii was just like, let's make some shitty, you know, motion cap controlled games. But this thing, it's like, they're really, I mean, if developers didn't want to make stuff to use with the Wii U gamepad, why are they going to want to make stuff with the Morpheus? It's going to be like PlayStation Move all over again.
People are excited about VR.
If you're going to make a VR thing, the only people that are going to make a VR thing are people that Sony has paid off. Because if you're going to make a VR thing, you're going to be doing the experimental stuff on the Vive or the Oculus. Because it's open source, PC stuff, the dev kit's like free. You just buy the Oculus itself and you're in. Like, Morpheus and all that stuff is a lot harder. It's Sony run, whereas these other things, even the Valve one runs on Steam. But that has green light, it has all these indie options, and Oculus is totally open. It's in its own platform. Like, these things need to grow, and Morpheus, it's not ready to be a consumer yet. It's like kind of like fun, experimental consumer, but it's not there. Like, we haven't even figured out the kinds of games we want to make for it. Why are we just pushing out console-exclusive version?
I can see both sides, and I can see Morpheus going really the way that Kinect did, is that when it first comes out, it's fucking huge. Like, everyone wants it, even though there's nothing really to do on it.
And yeah.
And then everyone buys it, and you have a impossible time finding it in stores for, like, 6 months. Yeah. And then people realize that there's absolutely nothing to do with this.
I feel like I could see it being the same way. It could be something that the general public gets into. The general public being people that don't necessarily know a lot about the Oculus and the Vive and things like that. And they get it for just the fact that it's a different experience than what they're used to with regular games. And then, like you said, it goes the way.
And I'm sure there'll be one or two cool things that Sony does pay to be made. Like, Sony will pay some developer to be like, hey,
please fucking make something cool for this thing.
Killzone Morpheus?
Yeah, Killzone. It will be Killzone.
The thing
it
about,
will. Yeah.
The thing about the Morpheus is that while Sony's going to plug it a lot, the Oculus has... Well, when Facebook bought it, it put it on the map. Mm-hmm. So, like, all sorts of people have heard of it now. Investors and everything. And the advertisement for it has gone up way high in the last year. But YouTubers have been playing with the Oculus, and all the Markiplier, PewDiePie, let's scream at the camera, things that get 7+ million views a video. All these guys have been doing Oculus videos for every little indie demo that comes out, and they get millions of hits. All the kids know what an Oculus is. They know how to get one.
Fucking kids, man.
Yeah, so like that consumer market, they've known about the Oculus for over a year. They've been watching people play it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, you know, maybe that'll be more of an incentive for them to buy a Morpheus, but like it's not like the Oculus is unknown. It's got lots of time to PR itself.
Yeah, I don't think it's unknown.
I don't think consumers know about the Morpheus yet. Sony's been weird about it. They haven't said much. And you can already play it.
But they will when it comes out. I mean, that's not gonna be a problem.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. It was a problem for Move, because that's how Move was handled, and it came out and no one bought it.
I bought a Move.
But, I mean, Move had already been done before, but I guess...
I bought a Move. You played Killzone 3 with it the whole fucking game.
Why?
With that fucking gun.
Was it good?
No. Because I was like, fuck yeah, motion controls! Way of the future. I played the whole thing with that goddamn gun controller thing. It was so hard.
That sounds terrible.
It was.
I bet there was a couple cool moments.
No. Honestly? Honestly, it wasn't.
You never pulled off a headshot and you were like, yeah!
I mean, I felt cooler going around my house.
No,
and like,
shit.
Peering around corners and fucking
with
shooting
the glory
my
move
with that thing in my hand than I did feel. Yeah. With that, you know, because I had that gun, peripheral thing. I felt cooler just walking around my house pretending to be a secret agent than I did playing Killzone 3 with that
Someday,
thing.
Yeah. You might be able to do that with Vive.
That yes.
Simple. Phil, don't tell us what to do.
Sorry.
Anyways, okay.
So, yeah.
Is that PAX?
Well, I met Tim Schafer. He called me the best thing ever.
What?
Yeah,
on his Twitter, he walked up to him and said, "Dude, you're the best thing ever." And he was like, "No, you're the best thing ever."
It was pretty great. There was like a signing session for Day of the Tentacle HD, which I keep forgetting is a thing, and I'm stoked.
Mm-hmm.
And I recently beat Grim Fandango. It's in one of my top five games ever made. And so
HD one or
yeah,
just okay, yeah.
Well, the HD one was kind of buggy, but yeah, they redid the soundtrack, which is one of the best soundtracks ever. I walked by him, and he was preoccupied talking to somebody, and I just kind of interrupted. I didn't...
Yeah, you just shut the fuck up. Yeah. Tim, listen.
I didn't expect him to hear it. I was just walking by in a loud area, and I just decided to turn and yell, "Grim Fandango's best game ever!" And he just stopped, and he turned at me, and he pointed and said, "No, man,
that's right.
You're the best thing ever."
That's awesome.
And my life was made right then and there. I also met fucking what's-his-name.
I forgot who you said too.
Bayonetta boy. What's his name? God damn.
Hideki
Kamiya.
Yeah.
Yeah, I met him and I actually forgot. I always forget how many things he's done.
Yeah.
Like he basically started Resident Evil. He directed Resident Evil 2. He did the first Devil May Cry that got kicked off of it. He did Okami.
Yeah.
Did you ever play Okami?
I did play Okami.
I have some friends that's like their favorite game.
Okami's fantastic.
Yeah, he did the Beautiful Joes. He did Bayonetta, obviously.
Man,
so
I played a lot of Beautiful Joe.
I brought my Bayonetta 2. I watched the Scalebound panel, which they did some... They premiere world premiere actual gameplay. The trailer at Gamescom was just a trailer.
Mm-hmm.
This was a live gameplay demo of the alpha, and they showed off new features, which I'll talk about in a sec. But yeah, I got my copy of Bayonetta 2 signed by him.
Hell yeah.
And I got a sweet poster and some shirts and stuff. Yeah, it was great. Major Nelson was there at the panel and some other people.
Rad.
And the guy who voice acts and motion capture plays the main character. I don't know if you saw him. He looks kind of like new Dante.
Yeah.
But doesn't piss me off because he's not supposed to be Dante.
Hey, you shut the fuck up. It was a cool game.
No.
And I'm gonna cut your fucking throat if you ever do that again. So fucking pretentious.
I almost kick you out of my apartment.
Kick me out of the window.
So my Scalebound was pretty sweet.
So there's new actual gameplay.
So the trailer, it showed gameplay, and the frame rate was terrible.
It's Monster Hunter with good controls.
Yes. Monster Hunter has terrible controls.
Yes.
This game, it looks pretty sweet. The frame rate was really bad in the trailer, and in the pre-alpha, it seems like they'd heard the complaints, and they tried to work out the kinks of that little section of gameplay to make it look nice. And it was really pretty smooth. I mean, it wasn't perfect, but it was a lot better. It looked more playable. Then there was a second segment. Basically, he ran through the trailer part, but it was extended. There was some Bayonetta-esque stuff. The weapons, like, the larger the weapons, they still felt like they were, like, you know, Bayonetta moves, which was great, because best action game ever. He showed off the Dragon Age. Fuck you! Sorry. he showed off the dragon. And, So they showed off the ability to control the dragon, which was not previously announced. Previously, it was just like...
With the Move controller, right?
Like, yeah, with the...
Yeah, okay.
No, it's an Xbox One exclusive.
Like Lair.
So you just... It's all connect.
It's all connect.
Yeah, you just... Yeah. So you just slap the dragon when you
connect.
Want to...
Down! You have to voice command it.
Connect, Dragon Blast!
And all it ever does is fucking snap achievements.
That's
annoying.
The dragon is controlled by, like, kind of like team commands in a shooter, where you tell it to do something and it'll just do it.
Okay.
And so it was very automated. And so I thought, oh, that's cool, and, you know, it lets you do your own hack and slash thing, and you kind of have control over the dragon. But you can actually hop on top of the dragon. This was announced there. You can get on top of the dragon and you control them completely. And you beat the shit out of giant bosses. And it looks like when you turn ginormous in Bayonetta 2, it's like that. And
wow.
So the controls,
a lot of scale?
Yeah. And it zooms way out and the controls look great. Dragon is highly customizable. In fact, a lot of the game is.
I like that a lot.
Yeah. The dragon, you can change his body parts.
Ooh.
That's cool.
Yeah, you can add armor to him, and there's all sorts of different...
Big dragon dick.
Big dragon.
It's a big flying metal penis thing.
Love it.
With a mouth.
That's what Armored Core always missed. That's why there is no Armored
Core. That's why it went
in this day and age.
From Software started making Dark Souls.
Yeah, fuck From Software. Why'd you make Bloodborne? Penis. Just stuck with Armored Core 5.
What'd you say, Phil?
I said no robot penis. That's why they stopped making Armored Core.
Dude, too far.
Mm-hmm. Come on. Family show, man.
Family show, bro. FCC.
So yeah, you can change things. Like, you can change his fire blast to an ice blast or all sorts of stuff. But
does it change, like, obviously, properties of your attack? Or does it just change, like, okay, this
know.
Is blue now?
It looks like it might just be blue now.
Okay, all right.
But, like, for the online component to sort of, like, make your dragon stand out, there's, like, towns you can walk around in, lots of cool different environments.
Fuck yes!
The music looked was really sweet. The music
It looked sweet?
The music looked... You can see it?
She notes in the air.
Yeah, just the grand staff.
This is a very trippy game.
The sky is just sheet music.
sounds like a cool
No
scene.
One made the skybox yet, so it was like, fuck it, I don't know. Put the score up.
Take pictures of it.
Just JPEGs.
So like when you're walking around, there's just this really beautiful ambient music, and boss fights are like that. But when you're doing like the typical fights where you're not fighting a boss, he like throws on his headphones and just techno beats, and they're and they're really sweet.
I think that's cool.
It was a great idea. And so pretty much whenever like the electronic stuff kicks in over the orchestrated stuff, he's wearing his headphones.
Wait, does it kick on over the beat?
No, like the orchestrated stuff stops, and then he's like, time to rock, and he slaps on his headphones.
Side thing, any of you have ever played Metal Gear Rising?
Yes, a little bit. I beat
the game. Fucking boss battles where they time the intro of the lyrics Do you remember that? You
did, right? Okay, they might end up doing something like that because
if he was just be listening to like techno and then orchestral stuff came in over the techno and because there was that was some of the coolest shit ever is you were fighting these bosses and then it got to a point in the boss fight where like his behavior changed or he hit a new pattern.
Yes,
and where the music like lyrics came into this instrumental song that was the fucking
I forgot
coolest, awesome. Most stylistically like awesome thing I've ever.
I remember that. Yeah. Hell yes.
Anyway,
boss fights.
Yeah.
Too.
Anyway, sorry.
I think Bayonetta 2 did that a few times, but not as jarring. Yeah. Because in Rising it was like metal.
Yeah. So it was fucking yeah.
Just Bayonetta. It's just beautiful like oldies.
Yeah, so
I'm going on down to the
so when you ride onto the dragon, this is another thing they unveiled. They actually didn't have it ready, and they heard so many requests or questions during Q&A sessions during Gamescom. A bunch of people said, "Can you fly the dragon? Can you fly the dragon?" And they just put it on the screen. Yep. And they just showed like a little gameplay.
They literally just said YEP.
Yeah,
nice.
Yeah, well, because they were doing like translations between the creator and like the translator. And Major Nelson was the guy leading the panel.
Okay.
And so he's just like, so we kept getting this Q&A thing, so it's like, so he kind of pointed to the director. He's like, can we fly dragons? And they just like hit next on the PowerPoint. He's like, yep.
Nice.
So they showed the little gameplay snippet. You get on the dragon, you just fly it, and there's all these floaty islands, and you can fly into the floaty islands. And they showed you flying to one of them and getting off. And
hell yeah.
That was also sweet. So the multiplayer, you all play as the same guy. Which is odd.
But, always a weird choice.
Yeah.
I never liked that choice.
No, it's like, it doesn't make any sense. But
find a different way to do that.
Yeah. So that's a thing. The guy who voice acted and is motion capturing this guy, because I mean, the guy's a total brat in this game.
Yeah.
And it's comical in its own way. Well, the guy who's playing him is the voice of, I don't know if you've seen The Bravest Warriors. It's a cartoon by the Adventure Time guy.
No.
He's the main character. I think it's all on YouTube or something. My sister's a big fan. I'd seen an episode. But he's very much that his personality is New Dante. Like, it is this character.
Okay.
Like, he was perfect. He stepped up as, like, a surprise. And he's hilarious. I met him, and he was the only guy who talked to me during the signing, because it was really awkward. The translator was taking pictures for some reason instead of fucking translating.
Oh, good, yeah.
So I told the director, I'm like, I can't wait for the sick boss battles in Scalebound. And he just kind of stared at me.
Yeah.
And I was just like... And then, like, the guy realized how awkward it was, and he just kind of kicked in and was like, yeah, man, me too. I can't wait to play the shit out of this game. He's like, it's all about the games, dude. And I'm like, hey, yeah, you're awesome.
So was that... You played Street Fighter 2 a little bit.
I played Street Fighter 5, yeah. I really liked it. I played as Vega, Armica, and Ken.
God, the game is so good.
And his eyebrows.
It looks beautiful.
Yeah, it was a fantastically...
Is Sagat in it yet?
Not yet. Oh,
ooh.
Vega felt great. I really liked him.
And they can't leave Sagat out, right? They can't.
They can't, right?
Okay. I played against my friend who plays Street Fighter 4, and I just don't ever, I like never have more than twice.
Mm-hmm.
And I beat him on 5. I don't know. I got a better feel for the game than 4, maybe.
I think your friend probably isn't very good.
He probably isn't, and he's just full of shit. But I beat him 3 times.
Good for you.
It was pretty close, though. It was a really fun demo. And while we were waiting in line for the demo, they had 2 pros with like Capcom tourney jackets that they'd won just fighting each other for fun on a stage.
Mm-hmm.
And it was displayed on all these TVs, so you're waiting in line for 30 minutes, and you're just watching these guys have really close matches with all of the cast that's currently out.
That's a good setup.
Best way to show off the game.
Yeah.
Because the whole crowd in line is just like, ooh, like, you know, and it gets crazy. Every match was just... Right, just super clutch, right to the edge.
Fucking rad.
Very cool.
Well, this show is getting long. We need to talk about...
We got to talk about some elephant in the room.
Yeah.
I've been thinking about this.
So, we don't need to get, like, fully, like, all the way into it, because we have another episode
coming up. So, how much have you played?
This week. I am on the... It's hard to say. It's hard to judge.
How many hours?
I don't even know that.
I've put 21 hours into it.
You've played 21 fucking hours?
That's what it says. I played the game for 21 hours.
Oh.
Wow.
I'm like at episode 12 or something.
Which is not that far.
No, it's not
that. There's 50. There's fucking 50.
Yeah. I've been going back and redoing missions because the saver of the game, and my dog is full grown, so I'm using him, and it makes a big difference.
We'll check it out. First episode.
That's okay.
Right here.
How do you like it?
Honestly, I didn't like the intro.
Really?
I get that.
I didn't.
I thought.
I don't know. Stylistically. I thought it was pretty well done.
Yeah. It was really slow.
It was very slow. And that's not the thing. For the first, like, the whole sequence when you're like they play the song, whatever song that is.
Man Who Stole the World.
Yeah. And you're like, you know, you're looking through blurry eyes and all that thing, like, mm-hmm. you know. But then when you get up, I just felt like, I know it was very deliberate, and it's not the fact that you're just crawling around for so long and then they give you motion. I also felt like, it's none of that, I just felt like it was not, I don't know, it didn't feel unique at all to me.
You know, I think it's, I mean, for...
Probably because you watched the trailers.
Yeah. all this shit was, like, new. It felt like, I don't know, there was something about it that didn't, and don't get me wrong, I didn't, like, hate it. I was just like, this doesn't quite feel like, you know, we've come from Metal Gear to expect such, like, unique stuff. I felt like this was, and there was a couple things that I thought were really awesome, like, artistically, but a lot of the stuff I just felt was a little cliche and a little like, I don't know. It was just some things about the intro bothered me. That being said, when I got into Afghanistan, I played for like 45 minutes in Afghanistan, and the gameplay, from what I can tell, is just fucking out of this world. Yeah. Like the stealth and the way that, like, I mean, it's very Far Cry-ish, only much more insane in the things that you have to consider and all that kind of stuff. But just that kind of, it's gameplay. And I started picking up like rough diamonds and shit. I'm like, I have no clue what this is all for. You know, it's
mother rough diamonds shit. Is your money.
I know. I assumed that's what it was.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
I assumed that's what it was. But just the. Just the way that it feels, the movement, the animation, the way that plays into the movement of the character, the momentum that you have, the everything about the way that it played, really, really pleased me. I just didn't really much care for. I guess in the intro the things that it forced you into. It's like I didn't want to do the shit that they were forcing me into. I felt like it was paced a little oddly.
Oh, did you not want to shoot anybody or?
No, I don't know. I guess it's a kind of intangible thing. I just wasn't that whole, you know, hour and 15. I was just like, this isn't really doing it for me. I don't know what it was. I don't know if I liked. I'm sure there's a lot that I'll learn that will tie back into that intro scene,
mm-hmm.
but just most, you know, a lot of it I was just like, oh, okay, it's a fucking flaming guy that makes every time he explodes,
Colonel Volgan, and which
yeah,
like, yeah,
every time he explodes, it's just a slow motion and everyone, I don't know, it just felt
slow. I think
I don't know. I just
so how I felt about it was basically. You know, I've seen the trailer a lot, so pretty much everything that happens in it that's important, you've already seen, and it takes an hour to get through, which is why it felt slow. Because there's scenes that just move slow. It's like, well, yeah. We've seen this in the trailers a lot. I was too hyped for this game. If I had not seen anything, I loved the hype train. It was fantastic. Mm-hmm. Coming down from it, the game is so slow in its storytelling that it's not that it's necessarily bad, it's that I don't feel much when it happens.
Yeah,
like,
maybe that
I
feel was
like
it.
I should. And so I actually did enjoy the intro. I thought it was weird and cool because I like that style of
it was very weird.
Of like film. Like yeah. The weird doctor's office crazy bullshit like the first part of Kill Bill. Like, that's kind of what this felt like.
Yeah, that's what it reminded me of.
That's, yeah.
Like, it's like a French foreign film. Like, there's a lot of scenes like that in French movies. I don't know why.
But one thing that's also going to play into this game is the fact that there are nowhere near as many cutscenes so far.
Yeah.
Is there as the entire series? They've kind of answered that with the cassette tape feature, which is really interesting. If you want, like, you know, backstory or exposition, you can just take a look at that.
I don't like that.
I love it, actually. I think it's great.
I don't hate it, but I don't like it. I like the old. I like Codex. I love Codex.
Yeah.
When they're timed and they're given to you and you just sit through them, they're placed intentionally in certain spots in the game, and the dialogue between characters is, in Metal Gear games, even when they're serious, the dialogue is always a really good mix of lighthearted and serious and weird quirkiness, but the character chemistry is diverse mm-hmm. in Metal Gear games. I love the writing of dialogue. In 5, there almost is no dialogue. It's great characters that we've seen developed, but they're just talking. And they're just talking about exposition in the mm-hmm. cassette tapes. This here happened in Afghanistan, and then this is this, right. and this is that. It's like...
I find it fascinating, though.
Of course, I do too. And that's what the kind of thing that they delivered in past games was over-the-top exposition. Like, this
but
is
this
a,
time it's, this op- is this kind it's of, optional.
Yeah, this is this kind of helicopter. Easy.
But that's almost... kind of sad to me.
Yeah, I don't want it to be optional.
I'm ready to embrace 20-minute things where people are like, oh, the fucking Cuban Missile Crisis.
Retcon. Have you seen this movie?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. No, I'm ready to have you seen this. The map? I'm more likely... Here's the thing is that I love the Metal Gear games. It's my favorite gaming title ever. But, you know, I'm less likely to go back through a whole new playthrough more than several times every 2 years. With Metal Gear Solid 5, I'm more likely to go back to another playthrough because, you know, I don't need to, sit through cutscenes that I've already seen. In, you know, with those games, it's like I feel like I'm cheating if I skip them. I don't have to worry about that with 5. So I completely embrace this new direction.
For what they did for the gameplay, I feel like
there was. I feel a lot like there's a lot more video game in 5.
Yeah,
there is going to be much more video game in 5.
But the thing about it is that they had their goal, they had their direction, and they decided to sacrifice a lot to make the gameplay what it is. I feel like if what I want out of the story was there, the gameplay would hurt, sort of. Like the pacing and stuff, mm-hmm. where it's this big sandbox kind of thing, and it really feels really good.
I don't think that they necessarily sacrificed as much as I think that they just changed. There were certain things that they changed in order to make the immersion and the gameplay a different evolution mm-hmm. of the series.
Yeah.
And for better or for worse, it depends on Phil liked it doesn't mind it. I see both sides. I completely agree with. I miss the Codex as well.
Yeah,
but it's just different. It's like the next. Really different. It's like a relaunch, like of a movie, in a way, like where mm-hmm. they cut certain things out and like a
the final cut. Ridley Scott, Blade Runner.
Not really at all. Like. that was just the same thing. They just different. Like different editing and stuff, but I'm thinking like I mean in the terms of like Mad Max for example. I mean the old ones were more of like almost like a Western trope of the wandering guy that comes into town and helps the people, and then the new ones just like this over the top. But it worked and it's just different. It's just a different type of theme and feel, and that's the best example I could think of.
Like, I've found from all four, every Metal Gear game is immensely different from the last, yes. which is what my favorite part of the series. But all four of them I have, all the first four, and Peace Walker included even, they all have in common this level of comfort that I feel when I'm playing it. This is a Metal Gear game. There's a lot of that still feels here there in 5. There's a lot. But it also feels really uncomfortable. Comfortable and stressful and foreign, and I'm not used to that. And the way the story is delivered is so different, because in every single Metal Gear game, ex- except for Peace Walker. But Peace Walker has actually paced the story well, considering its grindiness, because the grindiness happened later. Like, all that you do in past Metal Gear Solid games, every second is important to the story, and it's constantly having you do something interesting. It's constantly taking twists and turns. It's constantly showing you new things, and it is always there with you at every step of the way.
I don't know if I agree with that about the games, because, I mean, if you really think about the moment-to-moment gameplay in past Metal Gear games, you're not always uncovering something new and something fresh and stuff. A lot of the time, you're slowly, like, going through a sequence and then moving on to this next thing. I mean, like, you think about 3, you're moving from place to place in these isolated sort of stealth sequences, and you occasionally see something new and, like, a new element or a new mechanic or something just new added to the story, but I don't think it's constantly giving you new things. I don't feel like that's what I think of from a Metal Gear.
That's my favorite part about it, though. So, like, I don't know. I just loved how much variety was packed into so few hours.
Yeah.
Because there really is. There's a lot.
Those are short games. Not short, but they weren't.
They feel short.
They're not. Honestly, they're like 12-hour games. Phil's already put 21 hours into this, and
yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's like I have put I don't know how many hours now, maybe 8. I'm at level. I just finished mission 8 of the game, and about 7 side missions. And I don't know anything more about the story than I did in the trailer.
Yeah,
I'm hours into this game, and fucking nothing has happened except for a couple cool things, but. They were also, like the tone of this game is weird and dark. And it's like, there's always weird and dark in Metal Gear games, but there's all these other flavors to it, too, that really spice it up. The humor is there, and it's great when it's there,
but
the humor in the gameplay.
You can punch your own soldiers, and they're like, thank you for that, sir.
Thank you. Yeah. You can interrogate him, and they'll be like, oh, I love your iron grip, boss. Like, should I feel bad?
I talked to you about this at work after I played it, but I just wanted to say, as far as gameplay goes, I mean, it's...
Game of the Year.
One of the most incredible things I've ever played.
It's funny having complaints, but like that.
Yeah. I mean, the story is the way it's told is so foreign to us from people that have played all the Metal Gear games that it's just... I feel like it's something that we're going to have to slowly digest as the game goes on and look back on it almost to really fully comprehend how it's delivered, whether that's good or bad. Because it's just... Yeah. It's just so different.
It's going to take time.
It is, but what I was going to say as far as gameplay goes is I have never played a game, and there's been so many open world games that have taken their different approaches to like stealth and encounters and freedom and all that. It's Far Cry, you
sandbox.
Said. One thing I was talking to Johnny about is I remember when I first played and heard about Far Cry 2 and like was watching gameplay demos for it and stuff, and... I remember I was playing, and I would have these encounters where I'd be, like, overlooking a camp, or whatever you want to call them, a little, like, settlement with enemies and stuff. And I would be like, okay, how am I going to approach this? This is, you know, I'd look through the binoculars, and I'd be like, okay, well, here's, like, a spot I can overlook that I see everybody. I'm just going to snipe all these guys.
Yeah.
But in Far Cry 2, the game didn't lend itself to as much freedom for whatever reason. So I go up on top of this hill and I can snipe one guy and they automatically know where I am.
Exactly.
So it gave you a sense of freedom, but then it kind of brought you back down to earth just because of the mechanics of the game and stuff like this. It was like a false sense of freedom.
Yeah.
And this game is... this game gives you the sense of freedom... And then you realize that you have even more freedom than you originally thought from the like moment to moment gameplay. I mean, it's just incredible the things that it lets you do and how much like if you approach a mission and your objective is to like do, you know, extract this person or do this, and then you find like side objectives and stuff like that, there's so many different ways that you can do it and so many things that can happen while you're that it feels like just like these, it almost feels like a linear game when you're within each mission, because there's like a storyline playing out as you're on the mission.
Yeah.
And it's just incredible. Like, I remember just like one of the side missions where it was telling me to like blow up these satellite comm link things. And I went around. Yeah, I went around and like snuck around. It was, and the stealth is just rewarding. Like pulling off a stealth mission. Mm-hmm. So I go around and I plant C4 on all three of them, and then I have to make my escape. And the last one was in a place that was really difficult to escape without being caught. And I managed to like get down and like picked off one guy because he saw me real quick, just with like I tranked him. And then, like, went around back and saw another guy coming and had to sneak around real quick. And then I just sprinted and, like booked ass out of there. Went up on a hill across from the thing and set off all the bombs. And then watched the guys go into alert phase and left. And just, like, that freedom and, like, watching them explode and then escape, making my escape. It's something that I've never experienced in a game before.
I agree. However, there is one moment where I rode my horse like right out in the middle of the road, and there were guards that were not that far away, and they didn't even notice me. And I found that kind of cringeworthy, but I don't think that that takes away from the fact that when you get caught, it's still your fault because you weren't observant enough, that you didn't pay enough attention to what you were doing. And so the AI is still doing its job just fine. It's just there's like that quirk every now and then. That's a little bit of a red herring.
I really want to play. I really want to play more, because from the tiny bit that I've played,
it's
I'm
so
like,
fucking
and the, it yeah, is. It's just it was, so. I was just you know, the moment that I you know rode down that hill on my horse, I was just like, oh fuck.
Yeah,
like this is really something special, and like, you know, and I haven't even unlocked anything, and I hear that there's just stuff you unlock that completely gives you new avenues and changes the entire game and everything like that. Yeah, so
the mother-based stuff.
Yeah, I have no clue what this game even is,
and it's just a gift that keeps on giving too, mm-hmm. because the gameplay is so fun, and the open world, like. Open worlds and stealth games, as you're saying, sandbox games have been always done differently, and this one's probably done the best of this kind of thing, where they, like, there is such a thing as too much sandbox, I feel like, where you lose the gravity of the world, and it's just fun. Metal Gear 5 is totally, it feels locked in, like a big series of connected stealth
missions. And that's what they promised it to be.
And so, by connecting them, that means that you can approach them in so many different ways, but the world still feels pretty locked in. They didn't give you a fucking airplane or glider to glide around in and jump on an elephant's back and mow guys down. They didn't go Far Cry with it. Obviously, it's a much more ridiculous if they did. But
the missions are like have much more intimate feel than most open world games. It's not like I said. They almost feel like a linear story or like a linear based mission. That's just, in each encounter.
That is what I felt when I was like, okay, I have this. Objective, like I'm going to it, but I didn't feel like I felt very open and free to go around and do what I want and explore. But I also felt like, okay, I've got this thing to do. Like, let's go do it, and like let's figure out how to do it. I felt connected to like my objective and the character, you know, very well. And
I keep saying that I don't mean linear in the sense that like it's confined. I know mean in the sense that I feel like I'm basically making my own. Like objective based around.
You can't go off and open up a bar, you know, like in GTA 5, you know.
Oh yeah,
yeah. Yeah.
Oh, you know, Christ!
You can't like go make some eggs or some shit. No.
Can you do that in GTA?
You can run a business in GTA 5.
Yeah.
But I don't know about eggs.
You can. Okay. Yeah. Right. Yeah. You can buy the business.
Yeah.
Make eggs. The most mind-boggling part about 5 is the amount of missions. I said before there's 150 side missions and 50 main story missions, and they're not short. Like, they take a long time to get from one to the other. It's like you can wait through a bunch of load screens to get the helicopter to take you towards one, But like,
especially, and then some of them are super short, yeah, which is cool.
Yeah, and the really, really short ones are fun. But yeah, the side missions are mostly short. But getting to them for me, like, I like to just ride my horse to them. There's no point in doing that for the main missions. But yeah, the main missions are really pretty lengthy. I mean, I had one that lasted me 50 minutes, and I got a D on it.
Are they all connected? So it's not like you go back to Mother Base and then go out for another thing.
You can go back to Mother Base if you feel like it. But
so you'll finish a mission, it'll give you a rank, and then put you back in the world.
You can honestly go back to Mother Base just to shower because you don't like the fact that there's blood on you.
Or there's two. If you don't shower though, there's other effects. It lowers his reflex time because he's like losing his focus and tired and stuff.
So you got to go back to Mother Base to relax, get some R&R, hang out with the puppy.
Beat the fuck out of your soldiers.
Yeah, beat the fuck out of your puppy.
Fuck yeah, dude.
I was trying to figure out how to pet it, because I remember seeing him pet it. Turns out you can pet the dog, not the puppy, because it grows up.
Did you just kneel down?
I went to kneel down, and I went prone, and I went to do the CQC grab, because there was no button. Christ. And I did like this like sweet spinning kick thing, and I just punted the fucking dog. It just did like flips.
Oh, you dick.
I felt so bad. And then it got back up, and it was like all like licking me. I was like, what's wrong with you?
That's what dogs do, man.
They're your companion, yeah, no matter
they
what just, you
they
do.
Love you, for God's sake.
Yeah, and the game's beefiness is absurd, and even though there's missions that are completely pointless to the story, they're just like, it's a main story mission that you have to do.
I love that, though.
But it's just like, assassinate three guys.
You're living the legend of a soldier, like a legendary.
That's not a complaint. Because from a gameplay standpoint, that's what makes it amazing.
But absolutely. As these episodes go along, you've got these little subplots being mentioned. Or, like, you know, Kaz is talking to you through the radio, and he, like, mentions Quiet. Or he, you know, mentions something going on that's going to play a part later on.
That was cool. So I was looking around, and this does happen too much to the point where it's like they're trying. Are you showing?
No.
Are you showing dicks?
No, dude.
Hell yeah!
What the fuck is going on here?
It wasn't really.
So,
just a hole in my pants.
Yeah, exactly.
Where his dick came out.
What's the thing about? Fuck. What was I saying?
You were talking about... There was a mission where you mentioned Quiet.
Oh, yeah. So, it wasn't even a mission.
What's about...
Okay, so... I was like hanging out over a camp, and I just heard some Russian dudes talking. And you get like a guy who can speak Russian; they'll translate things for you, and just adds subtitles.
Okay,
and you get it pretty early on. But I started; they started talking, and they're like, "Man, have you heard about this girl?" And they're basically just like foreshadowing Quiet, because in a later story mission, you know, she's gonna show up. I'm sure.
Yeah.
And another interesting thing is that when you're given story missions, you're given them in block. So you can accept missions in chunks. Like there's five story missions. You can pick them in any order, whichever one you're closest to at the time. Like I just did mission 9, and I still have to do mission 8, which is interesting because I believe there'll be a boss on mission 11 that pushes the story along, and so you don't really know when things are going to show up like that. But all of the missions do have a great different take so far on the gameplay. They all spice it up. And I'm worried that by the end of the game, after doing 200 fucking missions, one of them is gonna be boring. But so far...
For God's sake, though, if you get 1 out of 200, that's a good-ass ratio.
It's really, really intimidating, though, looking at the fact that I played this much, which isn't that much, but for like a Metal Gear game, I'd be almost done.
Yeah.
And then just seeing, I have to do all of this... It's also an awesome feeling because, like, I'm going to have this much fun.
Yeah, exactly. Consider all the new stuff that we're going to get as we progress through the game.
It's amazing that they made an open-world stealth action game about as long as it took me to beat The Witcher 3.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
So we'll talk more about Metal Gear Solid next week. We've only had,
like, 2 days to play.
We dig in. But yeah. I did want to real quick also talk about... Mad Max.
Mad Max.
Played that.
Not played it yet. Tell me all about it.
Played the car combat demos like 10 minutes.
Yeah. I played quite a bit, and so far, it has been a blast.
Really?
Okay. It has been super fun. It's an amazing PC port.
Is it? Fuck yes!
It is the best PC port of a game I've played this year, honestly. I mean, as far as optimization goes.
I think Avalanche did a good job with Just Cause 2 as
they
well.
They did. They did a really good job with Just Cause 2.
Heard, yeah. But yeah, it's phenomenal. I mean, I can run everything maxed out 60 frames, no problem. But I've also heard people with a lot lesser kind of mid-range graphics card able to do the same thing. And that's just great. But as far as the game goes, it looks really fucking good. There's some striking scenes, like where certain areas that are very different from one another, and like the sky, the clouds, like the kind of orangey Armageddon type feel. And they did an amazing job building and expanding on the Mad Max world, because it's a world that hasn't been touched on all that much, if you think about it. I mean,
he's got a hub. Never seen Mad Max with a hub.
Yeah, and there's a lot of stuff like that that you just don't. It was kind of their responsibility to further these things in the vein of Mad Max, and they did. In my opinion, they did a really good job. The car combat's fun. The on foot combat and the
is it Batman? It's just Batman combat, right? On foot.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, the control wise, yes. But the feel is more like Shadows of Mordor. And what I mean by that is it's a little bit slower paced and more momentum based. Yeah. There's like more...
rhythm almost.
Yeah, it's not like Batman where it's like boom, 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 boom. It's like all over the place. This one's got a more deliberate, slow, and brutal feel to it. And it's really satisfying. There's a lot of weight behind the movements. And it makes it feel like when you... fucking finally knock someone out, it feels good.
Is it super violent?
It's pretty brutal, yeah. The like fighting is brutal. It's not pretty.
Phillip's into it.
The car combat is what I played the most. I did a little salvaging and stuff, but I did the car combat to take down a convoy. And it's so fun. The side burners in my car just cook them alive.
Nice. They do.
Yeah, basically you can line up and you just blast from the sides and you just watch their thing go down as they just start to catch fire and then they just roast. Man. And you can zap them, I think, with something. And
the fire effects are some of the most amazing looking fire effects I've ever seen.
It looks really good. Man. You can ram them with your rammer. You can shoot a grappling hook onto their tire and rip their tire off mid-drive. And so all these things controlled really well because you're driving, but you have like this lock on and you choose whichever item you want to use from when you're locked on, and then you just use it and he just does it. So it's like
it works really well because time kind
of keeps the momentum of the drive. Yeah. The chase still goes, but you change camera angles and you use a fancy gadget to blow and do something sweet, but it controls well when you're doing it. That was my biggest concern, was that it wouldn't, and it did. So that settles the game to me on its own, and it's turned out exactly as we expect. It's got like a 71 on Metacritic for critics. People think it's like, but the fans gotta give it an 8.
Yeah, so, I love it.
For those who want to play something as simple as that, it is what it
That's
is.
That's a very certain type of game, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a kind of... And the thing about this kind of game is I feel like the things that they do really well probably won't get as much credit as they should, because people will kind of look at it as just like, it's just a mediocre game. So there's some things that they did really well, like the world itself, the music, the sound design, the car combat and stuff, like maybe the car combat not so much, but things like that, small details, the upgrade system that they do, I think, really, really well. And because the game is the kind of game it is, I feel like it's not something that will get as much attention as it deserves. One of the cool things that happened that I was like, it was super intense, and it was when I was first started playing and I realized that I was really... It was just one of those moments where it just kind of like all came together. Yeah,
where you get cold all of a sudden.
Yeah. Yeah, so I was in the car, and like a random encounter
for 60 years.
A random encounter happened where some like guy started chasing me, and if they outnumber you, they'll try and like destroy your car.
Yeah,
and they were in cars that were stronger than mine and had better
protection and weapons and everything. And they, like, rammed me, and my car, like, lit on fire. And so you have to jump out of the car while Chum Bucket, the buddy that is on the back, he goes to the front and starts repairing it. And the cars are, like, coming at you, and you have to dodge them on foot while he repairs your car.
Is this, like, a button prompt thing, or are you just,
no,
like,
you're
out?
You're just literally out in the middle of the fucking wasteland, rolling around trying to survive while he's repairing your car, and they're trying to fucking kill you.
That sounds awesome.
And just little things like that, and there's a lot of, it's one of those games where there's a lot of, like, little things I noticed that, like, combat-wise and stuff that it doesn't necessarily tell you about. That I'm trying to remember, there was one that happened that I was going to mention, but it was just a tiny little thing that I noticed when I was, like, doing the on-foot combat. But anyway, so far, it's super fun, and it's a perfect, like, counterpiece to Metal Gear Solid, because it's, like, the kind of game where you just go in, and you could just start fucking driving and, you know, destroy a car and get some scrap,
shit out of some people.
Or go to, like, a little compound and fight your way through and unlock it. And then you're, you know, you don't, and then you're done. And so, whereas Metal Gear Solid, you know, it's more like this, you have to plan things out, slow paced, mark everybody, and all that. So, anyway, I just wanted to say,
you guys are almost making me want to go home and play Mad Max instead of Metal Gear.
Do it. No.
Game of the Year.
So, yeah, I just wanted to say that. I'll talk more about it when I have, when I've gotten more time into it. But so far, oh, and one more thing, real quick. The car upgrades, I really like it because it's not a set path where this is better than that, this is better than that, and you keep going till you get to, like, the level 5 version.
Yeah.
Because different, there are certain things that do that, but a lot of the upgrades have counterbalances.
You kind of make your own.
Yeah. Magnum Opus at the end of the game is going to look different than yours. Or different than yours.
The demo actually did a good job.
Different than his.
Yeah. The demo actually did a really good job of showing how you upgrade your car.
Mm-hmm.
So because you get to, like, upgrade, like, basically, like, every piece at least once. And so looking at, you can look at the other possibilities and their stats and stuff, and it's like, yeah, it looked, the customization was really enjoyable.
You can give Mad Max a huge beard like he had in Beyond Thunderdome,
really,
and long hair that goes down like his
shoulders. The start of the
Fury, yeah, I guess he had one in there too. You can give him a huge fucking beard.
Nice.
That's awesome.
With beads in it.
I wish.
Well, I got the game as well, and next week I also got, all in the same hour, I picked up Metal Gear Until Dawn and Mad Max.
Christ, have you played Until Dawn yet?
No, I'm super stoked to.
Really excited to get someone.
Yeah,
really,
I've seen a lot of cool stuff on that.
Is that? It looks like it was made by the guys who made Heavy Rain.
It's not. It's like Heavy Rain if Heavy Rain met, like, Jason
it's really cool, some
slasher film.
Yeah, it's really cool because.
Yeah, you do.
That's right up your alley.
Totally behind, like, Beyond Two Souls and Heavy Rain and some.
Yeah, and this one just has people getting disemboweled, so you'll be like, fuck yeah!
All right. Anyway.
Speaking of bowels, Kojima did it again.
Wait, what? I'm sorry, I was...
What?
Speaking of bowels, okay. Oh, Johnny Sasaki?
No, but close.
Okay.
I was walking by a toilet, and I found, like, in a military base, and I found a cassette tape called Man in Toilet.
Oh, yeah.
Played it, and it's just a dude ripping ass like 30 seconds. You can hide inside the porta potties, and if a guard comes up to the door, you can play the cassette. And they'll walk away. They'll be like, oh, sorry.
That is awesome. Oh, that is
God.
The most Metal
it's
Gear
just
thing
some
ever.
Dude just, oh,
so fucking metal.
So metal.
It's probably Johnny Sasaki's granddad or something.
Yeah.
Nice.
Or actually, no, it would just be probably his dad.
Yeah, probably his dad.
His dad was
probably his dad.
His dad would be the kind of guy to record himself shitting horribly.
Yeah. Well, I'd do it. I guess, That's our show.
I feel bad for Meryl's kids.
Yeah, fucking Meryl.
Yeah,
we'll have more. We'll talk a lot more, obviously, about our impressions, and I'm excited to hear about Until Dawn.
Yeah.
Next week,
me
and
too.
More news and stuff. So, yeah, we're just kind of getting into it. We're obviously this episode is going to release the day that we recorded, which is
fucking
Thursday. Fucking today.
The third.
This is so
hot.
Is it the third?
Hot off the press, yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's when the press gets pressed on the third.
Right. So anyway, we will be coming to you a few hours from now.
Yeah.
That's weird.
Yeah, we will.
Anyway, thank you for listening. Like us on Facebook. If you would be so inclined, that's facebook.com/pixelchickenpodcast. Follow us on Twitter. That's @pixel_chicken. And, send us your emails, your hate mail to Johnny.
Yep.
@pixelchickenpodcast@gmail.com. Mm-hmm.
I thought it was originally Phil. And then I actually got hate mail, I guess.
Johnny. Yeah, well, you, yeah, I mean.
You just send your hate mail to Johnny or Phil. Anyway, thank you for listening, and we will see you next week.
Peace.